Welcome to PCB Chat, where we talk with experts across the printed circuit design, manufacturing, and electronics supply chain fields. I'm Mike Buteau, Editor-in-Chief of PCDNF and Circuits Assembly. This week's podcast is sponsored by PCB Update, the digital newsletter for the electronics industry. Get all the latest technical and business news related to PCB design, fab, and assembly. Subscribe today at PCBUpdate.com. I've known today's guest almost since I entered the industry way back in 1991. She has worked in a variety of roles for SCI, AVEX, Flextronics, Zetel, Spartan, and Elemax, mostly in sales and marketing at a director or executive level. She helped coin the phrase electronics manufacturing services while at an IPC meeting more than 25 years ago. Since 2001, she has helped EMS firms of all sizes with strategic planning through her private firm, Pal Mucha Consulting. I'm speaking, of course, of Sue Mucha. Welcome to PCB Chat, Sue.
Thank you, Mike.
Sue is on our podcast today because we'd like to talk about EMS program management, specifically the IPC Program Management Certification Program. I understand that there are some updates that took place recently to that program. Sue, what can you tell us about the changes to the course?
Well, first of all, it actually has a new name. It's the Certified Electronics Program Manager Training and Certification Program. And the reason it uses the term electronics instead of EMS is because they did broaden it to allow for people who were on the OEM side of the equation that were involved in outsourcing to attend if they wanted to.
That's interesting. What drove those changes?
I think the biggest thing that drove the changes was there were actually probably two things. First and foremost, the course hadn't had a huge redesign. It had had some updates, but not a huge redesign since it was launched in 2003. And the industry itself has evolved a lot. But the other issue was companies were really saying, hey, we don't want to have program managers out of our facility for a week to take the course. And it's just, you know, because you're not just looking at the cost of the course, you're also looking at the cost of travel in many cases and the lost time of having a program manager who literally disappears for 40 hours. So that, I think, was the biggest driver of change, was just to, you know, online technology has evolved a lot. It's easier to deliver, a vibrant course that way. And, you know, it was time to start looking at how that path could go.
So the program is entirely online now?
I think the better way to describe it is it's entirely virtual now. And the reason I say that is because the way the program has been redesigned is sort of models off of what you would find in online university programs, in that there is a classroom session. There are exercises online, and students are broken up into teams so that the teams actually work on case studies outside of class. And those may be, you know, that collaboration is typically done via phone meeting or, you know, video conferencing. So to call it completely online, not exactly, but definitely completely virtual.
Part of the value of the live course was flexibility, and I'm sure that there were many a time when you were instructing that people came up with questions or comments that you probably hadn't necessarily anticipated, or at least it wasn't part of the curriculum. How do you capture that now that it's virtual?
Well, see, that's the beauty of it, because the way the course is structured now is it's a six-week program that has two-hour live web meeting sessions where students are able to actually raise their hands and ask questions during the session, and during the live session at least. And so there's that interaction. I'm teaching against the slides in the classes that I teach. But students are also able to signal that they have a question, and so we actually have class discussion. Every live session is going to be different than the same module, you know, in the previous sequence of courses, because of that interaction effect.
Now, does this mean that users can take part of the course at their leisure and then work in the interactive portion during previously scheduled times?
Exactly. I mean, they can actually, if they, we, for example, in the beta session, which we did last year, basically we had one program manager who had a very, very tight travel schedule, and he attended, I think, two of the online sessions live, and everything else he was reviewing in his hotel room because his travel schedule wasn't allowing him to actually participate in the live sessions. So they can watch the recorded version of the live session if for one reason or another they're not able to attend. But at the same time, because of the interaction, what I at least found in the beta session is the majority of our students were trying to make time. And the other thing that IPC is doing that I think is pretty cool is we're trying to vary the time of day in courses. The session that's going to start towards the end of February, and all that information is on the IPC website, but the session that's going to start towards the end of February is actually held sort of middle of the day. Now, it's going to vary depending on what time zone you're in, but it's early afternoon for folks on the East Coast. It's going to be late morning for folks on the West Coast. The session that we held last year was running on the West Coast, it was running from 5:30 to 7:30, and then, of course, it would be an hour earlier as you moved across time zones. They'll be doing that again in the session that's scheduled in late spring. I believe that starts in April. So the bottom line is they're trying to vary the timing of classes a little bit as they schedule different sessions to accommodate where people would like to have their live session. But at the same time, if that live session doesn't work, you still have the ability to view the recording.
Why don't you walk us through what a typical attendee might experience over the course of the program?
Basically, over the course of a program, we've got a six-week program. Week one is the focus of in the introduction to program management. We just look at the roles, and I think it's important to point out that we're looking at the different flavors of program management too. Program management, EMS in a small EMS company that's predominantly doing short-run projects is a very different kind of job than it would be in a global EMS company that's in the tier one of the EMS world. And we kind of look at those differences, and we tried to adjust the course to kind of adapt to the needs of all of those kinds of different program managers and kind of show them, again, there's more than one right way to do things. Week two is focused on making the sale. So we're looking at the program manager's role both in account acquisition and in growing the accounts that they have and in setting expectations in their accounts. In week three, we're looking at the business of program management, which focuses on the cost accounting side of program management and also a little bit of materials. In week four, we're doing is the contracts course, and that's the portion of the course that F&B teaches. Week five is the electronics manufacturing cycle. That's an area where we're looking at manufacturing. We're looking at elements of lean philosophy. We look at quality. That just kind of really focuses on the manufacturing cycle and the risks associated with that. And then in week six, we focus on leadership. We look at motivating a team, especially when program managers don't have authority. We look at interpersonal skill sets. We look at cross-cultural communication. We look at, basically the management side of program management, even though in many cases, as I said, they don't necessarily have the authority to hire and fire people on their team. They still have to get people within the organization to do things for them. So that's pretty much what we're covering over the six-week program.
And it sounds like the event will take place on roughly a quarterly basis. Is that a fair statement?
So far, they have the first two schedules, the first two quarters scheduled out. That's a question that you'd probably have to ask directly to IPC. And right now, they seem to be listening very carefully to both the folks in the EMS community that have expressed interest in the course and students as they, kind of move forward in rolling this out. So I don't know exactly what they have planned for the back half of the year, but I do know that they do have two courses that they are currently signing people up for.
Now, Sue, you mentioned that the incumbent course was 40 hours long. in terms of length, how does the new course compare?
And to a certain extent, it compares very, you know, it can be a very similar time commitment because you've got 4 hours a week in class for 6 weeks, and so that gives you 24 hours. And then you've got the work on your team on a case study. There's a team case study each week. Plus, there are some additional assignments outside of class. What's kind of cool about this is, again, you asked earlier about what drove the changes. IPC commissioned a survey in 2017 that looked at what both EMS executives and people who had previously taken the course were kind of looking for out of a course. And one of the things that was really a heavy interest was negotiation skills and, you know, just people being able to understand customer needs and better negotiate, you know, a business case solution for addressing those needs in a way that was favorable to both the EMS company and to the OEM. And so one of the things that's been added is what we call branch learning exercises, where students basically go through an online exercise where they're viewing a conversation between a program manager and a customer, and they're making choices about what conversational choices they would take next in that conversation. And they can play through that model several different times. And we look at it on common customer challenges. We've got another branch learning exercise that relates to cross-cultural communication. We've got others that just relate to working with the rest of your team. And so the bottom line is there's a kind of an interesting exercise because the outcome changes based on the response you change. They also have some multiple choice tests that they take during various modules to kind of test their understanding of the material we're going through. And so the bottom line is they typically, the time commitment is probably going to be close to 40 hours by the time you look at all of the different activities they're involved in during the time of the course. But it's a lot, in a lot of ways, it's a lot more interactive than the previous class was, where you had breakout sessions, but that, you know, and you could ask questions, you know, to whoever was teaching the class, but you weren't doing the level of breakout sessions that you're basically doing with this class.
And I suppose I should have brought this up at the top, but what is the ultimate goal of the program? In other words, what will someone who takes it, you know, hope to know or master by the time that they're finished?
Well, the ultimate goal is the same thing that the ultimate goal was with the initial program. People don't go to college to become a program manager in most cases. They kind of come into it either because they've come out of the manufacturing side of the business, or now more and more they're coming out of the business. You know, they're coming out of other businesses and getting involved in EMS. And so the goal of the program was to give everybody a foundation that was strong on the business skill side and strong on the manufacturing and materials and, you know, quality elements of the business as well, so that instead of having a program manager who was strong on manufacturing concepts or one that was strong on business concepts, they understood the entire playing field. And that's still the goal of the program, and the content aligns with that very well. And again, really where we are is just taking a program that was predominantly platform-based in terms of some, you know, people teaching different segments, and then putting it into a virtual environment where students can come to class and interact more with either other students or the instructor or the exercises or branch learning exercises that have been added to IPC's Edge platform.
Is there still an exam at the end?
Yes, there is. I mean, there's still certification as part of this, and the exam is delivered through IPC's test center. That is the one part that's not virtual. You do have to go to a test center. You sign up after the course, and you are proctored. So they are not allowing that to be the test is done on a computer, but they don't let you do it online in a remote location.
So I can't have you take the test for me?
No.
Now, Sue, it's been about 10 years since you published Find It, Book It, Grow It, a robust process for account acquisition in electronics manufacturing services, which was your how-to guide for EMS companies on building a brand and selling services. Has anything changed in the sales approach since you wrote that book?
Well, I think not so much in the sales approach, more in the marketing approach. I mean, social media is taking a more important role. People interact virtually more than they interacted at the time I wrote it. I'd say that's the market, the marketing tools people have and the way they may choose to market have changed. But it's interesting that you would ask this. I will tell you that the more conversations I have with salespeople, at least the ones that are closing business, not a lot of the what works in sales has changed that much. That you have folks that are new to sales that will say, oh, it's, you know, I'm getting more no's. But the folks that are successful tend to be doing the same basic relationship building things that they were doing before. And that still seems to work. I mean, the biggest thing that I would say is important that I'd probably emphasize if I ever wrote another book would be the fact that you need to understand enough about the business to make strong business cases. And I think when people are failing in the sales effort, it's because they're failing in making a good business case for why their company has the best solution.
Sue, I know you've been an instructor in the program since its inception. Will that continue under the new format?
ITC has me booked to teach the first two quarters of the course, and FMB is teaching contracts. At this point, you'd have to ask ITC for what their plans are beyond that.
Well, my guest today has been Sue Mucha, an expert in EMS strategic planning. Folks that want more information might want to take a look at circuitsassembly.com, where Sue has published an article that gets into a little bit more detail about the certification program and also includes some feedback from some of the beta test participants. Sue, if listeners want to get in touch with you, how would you prefer that they contact you?
I would say the best way to do it is through my website or through email, smucha@powell-mucha-consulting.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Mike.
This has been Mike Buto for PCB Chat. Have a nice day.